You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
There is a proposal to reduce the minimum ticket size of privately listed bonds from a whopping 1 lakh to only 10,000 rupees. But will this improve the penetration of bond market for the retail investors? Well, we don't know yet. But I have invited Ajinkya Kulkarni, who is the CEO and founder of WinWealth, to discuss what might be the probable outcomes of this proposal.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Ajinkya, thank you so much for coming to this episode. And the topic of our discussion is privately listed bonds. Earlier, their minimum ticket size was 1 lakh. Now it has become merely 10,000. So a lot of people are excited, you know, that they can start investing in bonds for a very less amount. But can you please explain for our listeners who might not necessarily know what this means? And also, if you could simplify, what does a privately listed bond mean and how is it different from a publicly listed bond?
Sure. Thanks for having me. So SEBI basically said that we want to open the bond market for retail investors. And 98% of the issues were privately listed and about 2% were publicly listed. So publicly listed, the ticket size was always 1,000. For privately listed, it was 10 lakh first. 1.5 years back, SEBI said we want to make it available for retail investors as well. So we'll reduce it to 10,000, 1 lakh. And now they're going to reduce it to 10,000. So when a bond is publicly listed, it's like a debt IPO. The bond, you can subscribe in primary, right? And anybody can subscribe to it, right? And it gets allocated by its allocation methodology, first come, first serve, lottery, whatever. In a privately listed, there is one buyer who buys that bond. So that buyer is pre-decided. One or probably two or three, but few number of buyers, right? So that is the only difference. Now, when the bond gets listed, in case of public listing, the compliances were far higher earlier. And in the privately listed, the compliances were lower. Now, as SEBI is reducing ticket size, they have also made compliance very closer to each other. So SEBI said, okay, most of the bond issuances are happening in privately listed. We want to enable it to basically for retail investors. So we'll ask if they want to do privately listed, but want to keep ticket size low, they can do more disclosures, more compliance, and that should be good. So that is the only difference. On public, anybody can subscribe. In primary, in private, the set of people or entities are pre-decided. In primary, once the bond is listed, in secondary, anybody can buy and anybody can sell.
Got it. Interesting. So my limited understanding of this space is that whatever bonds are listed, public and listed, those are mostly the NBFCs which are issuing, right? But once you get into the private space, yeah.
Even like if you look at privately listed, most of them will be NBFCs.
Okay. But apart from NBFC, all this Adani and Reliance would also be issuing a lot of bonds. So people
They can.
So Ajinkya, one interesting thing that you mentioned was most of the bonds that, you know, people could access for a very low ticket size was the publicly listed bonds. But the problem was this was a very limited set of bonds. Now there is a huge universe out there for people to choose, and buy it from. But my only concern is that all this privately listed bonds, which were earlier restricted to retail investors for its high ticket size, would also be more risky, right? So how would people understand if it is, you know, if it's good or bad and how their money can go either way, right? If they get the interest, that's fine. But can it go the other way also?
Yes. I think the bond is, whether it is privately listed or publicly listed, doesn't change the risk profile. I think the access to information changes. So ability to understand risk changes. right? In a publicly listed bond, the disclosures were far higher, so retail investors could study them better, understand the risk better, right? And in privately listed, the problem was there were not enough disclosures because it was meant to be privately listed, right? Now for 10,000 ticket size, I mean, although we don't have the final regulation in, but it is said that there should be a merchant banker who will submit a report, right? So the disclosures will be also there, right? So the risk profile, you can understand risk by studying the given information, which are basically disclosures. Those are far higher now in privately listed, right? So retail investors can understand risk. Obviously, like that information is accessible. One needs to study, and like we simplify that information on Wintel platform, right? So there are ways to simplify that and educate. But obviously, if you're taking risk, you should understand that risk. Now with better disclosure, that you can understand that risk better.
Ajinkya, another interesting point that a lot of people are talking on Twitter and LinkedIn is the liquidity aspect, right? So I think the publicly listed bonds have a fair bit of liquidity from before, but this privately listed bonds were very thinly traded, right? Over the counter kind of a thing. But now when a retail participant invests their money there, puts 10,000, then how is the liquidity scenario going to change?
I think if the ticket size is going to be, if ticket size were higher, that means liquidity will be low, right? Because while investing, you know that you're going to have to hold it till maturity. Therefore, you will not sell, or therefore there will not be liquidity. As the ticket size lower, liquidity automatically increases. More retail participation will also solve for liquidity, right? So I think the crux of that is in lowering ticket size. Once more and more people start investing in these bonds, many of these bonds will start becoming liquid, and there will be some short-term plays that will arise saying, I will enter when the bond is 3 months old, somebody selling it. So there will be more market created. To build liquidity, you need depth of the market in terms of number of investors. That wasn't there. That would get built. Then liquidity will be automatically solved. And it will even further attract more market participants or more investors, right? So it's kind of a chicken and egg problem. But the core of it is lower the ticket size, better the liquidity, is I believe.
Also, Ajinkya, what incentive does SEBI and the market regulator have for bringing in more participants to the bond market? So people could still buy publicly listed bond, or they could also buy debt mutual fund, right? So why is SEBI kind of enthusiastic about, you know, getting more participants in the in this kind of privately listed bonds now?
Yeah, sure. So I think for like the bunch of reasons, I think this corporate lending, right, NBFC and non-NBFC is very much reliant on banking system for borrowing their needs. And for any country to become developed, it has to have a deep debt market. So for retail investors, it's investment haven. But if you look at from a business's point of view, they need avenues to borrow money, right, at the right price. And currently, they're very much dependent on banking as a sector. Right. And I think obviously banks like do that bunch of lending, but they need to focus more on priority sector lending, etc. So there is kind of a like only one source of capital for these businesses to grow. In a developed country, you need multiple sources of capital. Today, that source is hardly there. Right? So if the bond market deepens, one is retail investors get opportunity to invest. Okay? But the bigger impact for economy is businesses can borrow from the market, and that rate will be market driven. It will not be some PLR rate, like primary lending rate of a bank, which is predefined, right? Irrespective of a business credibility, credit rating, etc. So market will define that rate, and that will, so more businesses can borrow more, and that debt can be invested in right places, and economy will grow. So I think if you look at any deep market, any developed market, for India to become a developed market, having a deep liquid debt market is a necessity. Therefore, I think regulators, governments want this market to develop. But obviously, they have to protect retail investors, so they're opening it slowly.
So Ajinkya, just for some context, can you give some idea on how the bond market is for retail investor in developed market, let's say Europe or America? So how do people look at bonds there?
Yeah, I firstly, I'm not an expert and I don't have much idea. But what I know in US market is fairly liquid. Even junk bonds, government provides liquidity. And that basically propels the economy, right? So for more people to come in, even if you look at equity, being liquid is a great feature for more people to enter, right? So I think in US, so not just investment grade rating, but even junk bonds having a very liquid market, right? And it's a question of basically creating that marketplace, right? If once more participation comes in, some market participation will develop a strategy of making money in junk bonds by buying and selling and by trading, right? For that, market needs to be liquid. And I think what I heard in US is the government provides liquidity in extreme scenarios, right? Most of that market can be retail investors mainly invest in municipal bonds. That's a main avenue of investing, but there are a lot of debt mutual funds are very active there. So a lot of investing happens through that also. In India, if you see, debt mutual funds are also not very active in credit space. So they will be lending mainly to, AAA rated entities, government entities, but businesses that actually need really good capital, those are not that much catered by mutual fund even today.
Got it. Interesting. So Ajinkya, I was just thinking of one example, and maybe we can do this exercise of what would have been the scenario like if this regulation was implemented from before. So I was just thinking, let's say this regulation was introduced in, let's say, 2021 or something, 2022 January or something. And let's say everyone started buying all this Reliance and Adani bonds, and suddenly one day US short seller Hindenburg makes a very drastic remarks on their company, and their bonds completely would collapse in the listed market, right? So can those kind of stuff happen in the future, where people invest looking at a bond thinking it's a very big company, but later on, if once it's listed, it's also driven by market sentiments and everything else, right? So what do you think on the second order effects?
Yeah, I think that's a feature of the liquidity, right? Liquidity is a good thing, but it will also mean it will bring volatility, right, to some extent, right? And if you look at Adani and Reliance, these bonds were anyway publicly listed, right? So they are anyway exposed to this market risk, right? The good thing is, if you know the credit worthiness of the business and if you hold till maturity, then you will get the principal back and the interest, right? The price varies only notionally for you if you want liquidity, right? I think these are only good thing and people will learn from it. It's basically saying like stock market mein there is volatility. Obviously, there is volatility. If liquidity is there, volatility is going to be there. Both will come together. Would you want both of them together, or you don't want both of them, right? I'm pretty sure everybody will choose that, right? And obviously, with bond, it will not be as volatile as equity, because fundamentally it will depict the underlying structure of the underlying nature of that asset class, right? Because if bonds are too volatile, somebody will make a spread there and make it less volatile. So eventually it will converge. The market will mature, right? And a good example is if you see REITs, right? Earlier, REITs were very volatile. It's a very close asset class. I look at it as a fixed asset class. But in COVID times and after that, also you saw a lot of volatility. But I'm pretty sure, and this is obviously not a prediction, but I believe that as market matures in REITs, that price volatility will not be as much as it used to be. As the market matures, people figure out how that asset works, and it will mimic the underlying nature of that asset class.
Interesting. Got it. Also, Ajinkya, can you talk a little bit about your platform, WintWealth? So it's the leading bond platform in India. So I just wanted to get a sense of how many privately listed bonds were there in your platform. And now, are you planning to ramp up that part of the business because it's going to be very accessible now. So how does it look like for your company?
Sure. So at Wintel, we basically bring bonds that give at least about 10%, 11.5% return, 1-2 year maturity. The good thing about Wintel is we also co-invest in these bonds. So we invest 2% and hold till maturity. So we have skin in the game. Right. So that's one thing. We have brought in about 40-50 entity bonds. I wouldn't have the number of bonds because for one entity we could have brought 3 bonds, 1 for you. But about 40-50 entity bond we have brought on the platform. We have total raised about 1,700-1,800 crores, right? Every month we are raising about 70 odd crores, right? And obviously when the ticket size comes low, more people will come in and the market will grow, right? So that's at Wintel. We are mainly focusing on just NBFC bond because we think the real risk adjusted return is there. In manufacturing or other industries or other corporate industries, non-NBFC industry, we still haven't figured out a large supply coming out, which is where we know where we can predict the risk accurately, and therefore we can look at returns with a very certainty, saying this return is justified and this is not justified. So that prediction of risk is not very smooth yet. Let me put it this way.
Got it. So earlier, before this regulation, when Wintel was offering bonds, were you offering mostly publicly listed bonds because those had a lower ticket size, or was there any way for you guys to make the ticket size?
We were offering some listed bonds also. For some time we did offer unlisted bonds, and then once we got a regulatory clarity, we stopped them. So we have today also some publicly listed bond at 1,000 ticket size, and privately listed at 1 lakh, and now we will have both 1,000 and 10,000.
So earlier, I'm assuming there was not much business coming from the privately listed bond because those were very high ticket size, right?
Yes. And as a platform, we are very retail focused. That's the reason. There might be other platform who might be doing good on the privately listed because they might focus on institutional buyers.
Okay, so the business you have been doing with retail investor till now has mostly been in the public listed bond space.
No, I think 90% will be still in privately listed at 1 lakh ticket size. 10% will be in 1,000 ticket size.
Got it. So this kind of says that bond investors, whoever are investing, are still in the HNI category, and retail investors are yet to kind of join in a very big way.
I would not say HNI per se. It is DIY investors, do it your own investors. Mass affluent, having a portfolio of about north of 50 lakh. At 1 lakh ticket size, that's the portfolio. That's the profile looks like. At 10,000, it will be somewhere who has 5-10 lakhs of investment, surplus.
Got it. And I have two quick questions for you before you leave for your another meeting. So the first question is, why get excited about bonds when there are many debt mutual funds already in the market?
No, I think debt mutual fund as a product is not a great product at all for retail investors in India. Right? We also offer small finance bank FDs on the platform. Right? When an FD is giving you 8.5% return and till 5 lakh it is guaranteed by government, why would you go into a debt mutual fund where YTM is about 8.5%? So lesser return, not backed by government. Plus there are market variations if interest rate goes up, BTC. It's a complex product, right? And earlier it used to make sense because there was an indexation benefit. After the indexation benefit of debt mutual fund is gone, I think it's a far inferior product. FDs is a much better product. You can argue to some extent arbitrage funds can be a good product too, but not the normal debt mutual fund. They are not at all. They don't provide any risk adjusted return to retail investor. If you are HNI wanting to put 5 crore, that's a different thing. You cannot rely on deposit insurance of 5 lakh per bank. But as a retail investor, you can probably invest in 3 banks, 2 Wintel platforms, small finance bank, get a ton of percent return. And it's still 100% covered under deposit insurance.
Interesting. So my last question is that when the debt mutual fund tax benefit was removed some years back, a lot of people expected the bond market, like your platform, to completely explode. Although I'm sure the business might have gone up, but it didn't. It wasn't a breakout of any sort. But is this the moment where you think your platforms like yours will, get the real business, so to say, the breakout finally? What do you think about it?
Yeah, we surely think so. I think even when, especially for us, right, when the debt mutual fund regulation came in, we knew that it wouldn't move the needle, because most of our investors we see are first-time bond investors. Many of them haven't invested in even debt mutual funds, right? So even when there was a tax indexation benefit, the key thing for bond is the ticket size, so that people can come in and try that product out. Lower the ticket size, easier it is to try.
So for context, earlier debt mutual fund had a tax benefit which made it a superior product to bonds, but now after this regulation, the treatment was same.
Yes, it is same.
So we saw on LinkedIn that your company had cut a cake with the 10 yes. mark on it. So hopefully that will work out very well. And yes, thank you, Ajinkya, so much for coming to this episode in such short notice, and hope to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Sachin. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you would like to know more about this topic, then you can reach out to me on Twitter. I go by the username @SachinNJ or LinkedIn using my full name, that is Sachin Ningthau Khongjam. We would be happy to take your suggestions. That's all from our side. Thanks for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.